We're now studying the Parsha of Avraham Avinu, Parshas Lech Lecha. Let's begin a little bit with something off to the side, and that's David HaMelech and Sefer Tehillim. The Gemara in Baba Basra tells us that David HaMelech reflects in Tehillim the words, the wisdom, the sayings of 10 different authors. Some of these authors, some of these individuals were contemporaries of David HaMelech, but a number of them predated David HaMelech. Apparently their wisdom was written down, passed down through the generations, and David edited and codified it in Tehillim. And the Gemara's language about Basra Yudalad Amid Beis, David Kosav Sefer Tehillim Al Yidei Asara Zekenim. And amongst the Asara Zekenim, whose wisdom is incorporated into Tehillim, Al Yidei Adam Arishon, Al Yidei Malkit Sedek, Al Yidei Avram, Val Yidei Moshe. And Rashi comments on the words Al Yidei Avram, Kidamrinon Lekamon. He refers us to a Gemara a bit later on in Baba Basra, right here in the same Perek, Esan HaEzrachi Ze Avram. Now, the phrase Eitan or Esan HaEzrachi comes from Tehillim. And in the 89th chapter of Tehillim, in Tehillim Pei Tes, Pasuk Aleph, Maskil Li Esan HaEzrachi, which is the opening, if we call it the introduction to that capital in Tehillim, the Targum says, Sichla Tova, I guess the wise or good words or wisdom, Diit Amar al Yoda de Avram, which was said by Avram and formulated through Ruach HaKodesh and beautified by David HaMelech. So that too reflects the Gemara in Baba Basra. Rashi, here at the beginning of Tehillim Pei Tes, writes for Rabbosenu, Pirshua, Rabbosenu interpreted this phrase, Maskil Yeson, Bi Avram Avinu, referring to Avram Avinu. And why? Why did the Chazal say so? Al Shem, based on a Pasuk Yishayo, Perek Mem Aleph, Mi Heir Mi Mizrach. There's some sort of combination here between Ezrach and Mizrach. Avram Avinu comes from the Mizrach. He comes from the area of Aram Naharaim, and he comes from the east. And he brings with him the wisdom of Avram. And that's cool, and Avram is called the Esan Ezrach. Now the word Esan means the strength and the power. Esan refers as a word we want to use to something that's almost an immovable mover. You know, it's something that's like the stone of Gibraltar, the rock of Gibraltar. You can't move it, you can't budge it. That's how strong and powerful is Avraham Avinu and his wisdom. You cannot penetrate it, you cannot blow it, you cannot move it. The winds can't undermine its foundations. That's the Eitan HaEzrachi. That's Avraham Avinu. And in the very next Pasuk, in that same chapter in Tehillim Pei Tes, Pasuk Beis, we'll get an insight into what Avraham Avinu dedicates his life to, what is it, what are his goals, what are his achievements. Chazdei Hashem Olam Ashira. I will forever sing the Chazdei Hashem. In other words, my song of praise to God is the song of the Chesed of Hashem. Hashem created a wonderful world with laws of nature. He bestowed upon man goodness. This is the song of praise that Avraham Avinu offers in an eternal way for the Chazdei Hashem. And then the pasuk continues, L'dar v'dar odia emunoscha b'fi. From generation to generation, I will be modia, I will pass on, I will notify, I will teach emunoscha, your faith, your emuna, and b'fi, through my power of speech. This pasuk really embodies and reflects the essence, the dual essence of Avraham Avinu. Number one, the chesed, which Avraham emulates from Hashem. We'll have in Parshas Vayera more about the chesed of Avraham a little down the line when he's Mekabel Yorchim. Avraham is the Amud HaChesed. But not only that, there's another dimension to Avraham, of course, and that's his Emuna. Avraham is the teacher of belief. He is the monotheist. He discovers God. He teaches us God's power, God in creation, God in our lives. And this is the Emuna that Avraham Avinu is going to pass on. And this combination, the integration of Chesed and Amun and Avram, is such a beautiful one. Chazal speak in the Gemara in Sukkah about Torah's Chesed al-Lashon in the Pasuk of Mishlei. Ezi Torah shal Chesed, Torah al-Banas l'lamda, the greatest Chesed is passing on Torah. We've spoken about this on many occasions. Torah is not meant to be kept for oneself. It's not a selfish endeavor. It's knowledge of God. Those who love God want to share that knowledge with others, pass it on. And that is the chesed of Avraham. The greatest level of chesed is the passing on of Torah. The Rambam in Hilchos Avodas Kochavim, at the very beginning, he describes the nefesh asher asu b'charan, the tens of thousands of disciples of Avraham. Avraham bestows goodness upon them by sharing knowledge with them. And that's l'dor v'dor odia emunoscha. It's interesting the different Lashonos from the Rashi to the Sefer of this very same verse. When it comes to Chesed Hashem, we're talking about Shir. When it comes to Emuna, we're talking about Modia Emuna. We appreciate God's greatness, His bestowing of goodness upon us, His kindness. That's a song. When we appreciate God, we break out spontaneously in a song of praise. That's the Ashira of Chasdei Hashem. When it comes to Emuna, and we want to enlighten other people, share our knowledge, our belief, our faith with other people, it's Odia. As the Rambam says, Mitzvah Leidas Hashem. And the process of Emuna is part and parcel, perhaps intrinsic and essential, defining the essence of Talmud Torah, which of course is a mitzvah of Lidar Vadar, of passing on from one generation to the other, the Mesoras HaTorah, the transmission of the Torah, and it all begins with Emuna. And that's what the Eisan Ezrachi dedicates his life to. The Chasdei Hashem Olam Ashira, that reflects the Olam, the essential fabric of the universe, the natural universe, the law of the universe, which is immutable, unchangeable. And that is the Chesed of Hashem from the time of Bereishis of Bria, from the creation and on. These are the laws of nature that God has given as the gift to all of the universe, and especially to mankind. So that's the Olam Ashira. It's an appreciation of the Olam, the forever, the eternal element of God's bestowing upon the world goodness, His Chesed. And we're going to take a look at some of the comments in the later Mefarshim, which shed a light on this name of Avraham Avinu as the Eisan HaEzrachi. Looking, if you will, at the Imrei Baruch, which is on the right side of your page, quoting the Gemara Bava Basra Tesvav, that Avraham Avinu is called the Eisan Ezrachi, and why Hatam Lekach Mipnei Shavraham Avinu B'Kedushaso Hagdola Heir V'Hizriach Ba'Olam Kulo Esar Ha'Emuna B'Hashem. The word Ezrach here, not as Rashi would have it, Miloshen Mizrach, but rather Miloshen Lazriach. We're talking about the sun shining, the rays of sun that illuminate the world. So to Avraham Avinu, with his great level of sanctity, he illuminates the world. He brings the sunshine to the world. The world is dark, sometimes full of terrifying dread. Man is ignorant. Darkness always represents ignorance. And on the other side, the opposite side of the coin, is light, the illumination, knowledge. Avraham Avinu is the epitome of the individual who will illuminate the world. His Riach Bolam Kulo Esar, what is the light? It is the light of Emunah in Hashem. and therefore Hishpia Ba'olam Mimidas HaChesed. It's interesting how the Imri Baruch integrates both Chesed and Ashpa, the influence, the impact that Avraham has on the world because of his Chesed, and the Hizriach Ba'olam Kulo Sa'or Shal Amunah Ben Amunah. We saw this already in the Pasuk in Tehillim, Peites, Pasuk Beis, the combination between Chazdei Hashem Olam Ashira, Avraham Avinu declares his dedication to Chesed, and at the same time, L'dor V'dor Odia Emunoscha B'fi, he uses his power of speech to transmit the faith in Hashem, and he does so out of love, out of a sense of Chesed. He's going to illuminate the world, brighten up a dark world, a world that's full of idolatry, of barbarism, of human sacrifice, a world that's immoral, a world that is really thrust into the dread darkness of absolute ignorance. Avram is going to be the light. He's the Vayehi Or at the beginning of the creation. That's Avram, who is the Eisan HaEzrachi, Ezrachi Miloshen Lazriach, to bring the sun, the light, to open up the eyes of the people to see the truth. He does it out of a sense of Chesed. He's moved and motivated to share that lovely, beautiful knowledge and clarity of thought, the light of the sun, with his fellow human beings. And therefore the key to Avram's success is not just his intellectual faculties, his ability with reason to come to the belief in God, discover the Almighty God in a world of idolatry, but not only intellectually is Avram unique and superior, but also in his love for the people, his desire, his craving for chesed. He's out there on the third day of his milah, according to Chazal, in the heat of the sun, looking for a way of doing chesed, of bringing in the guests, helping the wayfarers, people are total strangers to him. And this is how he and Sarah at his side reach out to so many thousands of people successfully, out of the combination of his pedagogical skills and intellectual on the one hand, his ability to grasp the depths of knowledge, reveal that which is concealed in the world, bring light to the darkness, but at the same time, out of a sense of sharing, of loving, of sincere devotion. That's Avram, the Eisan HaEzrachi. And interesting is that we view Avram Avinu, and rightly so, as the paradigm of being Makariv Rechokim. The Chazal say in the Medrash, on the Pasuk Ve'yeh Bracha, that if you change the vowel under the Resh of Bracha, which you can do Al Pidrush, to find deeper meanings in the Torah, then the word Bracha with a tzera, instead of a comments under the Resh, becomes Brecha. Brecha is a pool of water. And the Medrash says in Breishis Rabbah, Lamentes Yud Ches, Veheye Bracha, God calls of Avram Avinu the Bracha, the Brecha, Ma Brecha Zu Mitaheres Es Hatmeim. This little mikvah is where a tamei who's contaminated enters into the mikvah and he purifies himself. Afatah, so to you, Avram. Mekarev Rechokim. Here's the source in Chazal from so many thousands of years, from thousands of years ago, of Mekarev, of Kiriv Rechokim, to bring those who are far away, who are living in ignorance, in darkness, and shed the light on their lives, on their intellect. It's like Chazal called the Chachamim, the scholars of Israel, are Einayim Shal Yisrael, the Ma'or Einayim, bring that light. And in the Sefer Chochmah V'Das, he quotes the Avnei Nezer, the Sokach of a Rebbe, who has a beautiful pshat on why Avram Avinu is called the Eitan HaMizrachi, HaEzrachi. He says, Ki Avram Avinu Nikra Eson, Kirchsiv Maskil li Eson Ezrachi, Hainu Shahya Chazak vi Eson Bemunoso. We call it Stark. Starkite. He was strong. He was Eisen. He was unyielding. you couldn't permeate through his outer shield. He was so strong in his belief, no one could bring Avraham Avinu to even question his belief. His conviction was absolute, was total. There's no room for anyone, even somebody who might have the power of persuasion, to steer Avram off his path of Emunah, to cause him to deviate. Avram is the Esan. Esan means the powerful, immovable stone. He's the rock of Gibraltar. No winds can blow him. L'chein yochalu lashpia l'chol ha'olam l'karvam. He plays a very unique role to impact upon the world, bring them closer to the belief in God. Shlo hoya mekabel shinui. He was not vulnerable, he was not subject to any sort of change in his outlook. This palus, or to make him emotionally change his state of being. Miklal b'nei Adam, there was no one who could have that influence on Avram in a negative way, to drag him down, to permeate and penetrate through this hard metal eisen, this strong eitan. And therefore he's Dome Lebrecha. We can really compare Avram Avinu to this pool of water, this mikvah, the Hainu mikvah, Shemetayr Acherim, Velomakabal Biatzmo Tuma. No matter who goes into the mikvah, he could be the Tome, the Avva, the Avos HaTuma. His contamination is intense, but nevertheless he jumps into the mikvah. The mikvah retains its status, its Tahara. And so too, by the Nimshal, Af Avram Tiher Acherim, Avram Avinu was like a mikvah to purify the others in Taras Hadas, in their understanding, their intellect. Velo Nagabo Litamo Klal Chasho. No one who went into this mikvah was able to be metamei. No one who had contact and encountered Avram Avinu was able to contaminate Avram's purity, his dedication to the belief in all God. Varak Bofin Zer Roy Lasok Pekir V'chokim. And this is the way to do it. When you reach out to people, it's got to be b'tahara, out of a sense of purity. It's got to be an esan, ha'ezrachi. It's got to be powerful, impervious, unwavering. And in this paragraph of the Chochmah V'Das, Rav Sternbach goes on to tell us that whenever he gets a chance to speak in front of organizations or unions or groups of people on the topic of going out to Kiruv Rechokim, how important it is, says Rav Schnurbach, I always emphasize that not everyone could fit this bill and play this role of Makariv Rechokim. Now he admits that Kiruv Rechokim is a pikuach nefesh, it's Hatzol's nefesh. And even if you save only one person and bring him closer to Torah mitzvahs, that itself is sufficient to be considered Hatzolus Nefashos. You're saving lives. And we view the spiritual existence of a person as we do his physical existence. But again, despite the significance, the weight, and the push to go out and be Makarev the Rechokim, we've got to be absolutely convinced that we fit this description of Avraham Avinu as being Esan. We have to be an Esan v'chosen, chosen v'loshon, an immunity. Right? Like you give a chisun, it means you make someone immune to a disease. We have to be spiritually immune and powerful, strong as metal in our convictions. Why? Because hadibur im rishoyim, I don't think he means rishoyim in the negative sense here, it could be a tinok shenishba, but nevertheless those who might sway him, they have a power of the intellect and they might sway him, olu lahazik, it could really bring him down. It could be detrimental to his status, his spiritual purity. You can go out there for the sake of makariv rechokim and end up with richu krovim. I remember Rav Parnas way back in YU once gave a lecture on the concept of richu krovim, that sometimes people go in to bring the rechokim closer, and at the end they bring those who are close further away. And here we would like to study a beautiful insight and interpretation of the Rabbeinu Bechai, which is in his introduction to Parshas Yisro, First, we'll study the background, the Gemara, the statement of Chazal and Baba Basra, Tezayim and Beis of the Rashbi, Rav Shimbar Yochai Omer, Even Tova Hoysa Tluya B'Tzavar Shal Avram Avinu. There was a precious stone that Avram Avinu wore around his neck as a kind of a necklace. Shekol Chole Haroa Oso. Anyone who was ill was able by seeing this Even Tova around the neck of Avram Avinu Miyad Misrape, he would be healed. It sounds like a very, on a surface level, a very heebie-jeebie type of Gemara. But no doubt, Rav Shimbar Yochai is giving us some symbolic meaning, and we're going beyond the physical into the spiritual realms of divinity. U'bishosh and iftar Avram Avinu, the Gemara tells us that after Avram's passing, Tola HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'galgol Chama, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took this Even Tova from the necklace of Avram Avinu, and somehow he placed it up on the sun, which again, on a surface level, is very difficult to understand. You know, this is a typical agadita that's codified in a secret code, very difficult to decipher. But Rabbeinu Bechai is going to make an attempt at deciphering the code and maybe give us a derech alimud, a methodology, and how to take apart an agadita. He says, "Ki imdibur alosh and shadasa kosh baruch biyodam." With this great gift that God has bestowed upon man, that man has the power of speech, Yeshlo Yisorin al Shar Balichai, man becomes superior to all the other creatures that God created. And Efshal Lebo, what's the power of speech? How far, how great is it? What's the potential, the power? Lirapos, to bring refuah lemish Yeshlo. Now watch this. Chole Anefesh. We're not talking about physical illness. We're not talking about healing the physically sick. Well, maybe we'll leave that to Billy Graham, but we're talking about healing those who are holy nefesh. It means their nafshius and the ruchanius, their spirituality is deficient. This process of ripui is a process of kiruv, to bring a person closer to the Shekhinah, to the Almighty God. And in this process of teaching, utilizing, as it were, the lashon, the power of speech, we are able, man is capable, he has the capacity of bringing to other men the true life, the infinite and eternal life. Hamida zos mitzauna b'Avram Avinu. If we look for a paradigm of this ability of man to use his power of speech to literally bring life to other men by teaching them the true and eternal belief, we find the paradigm in Avram Avinu shehichzik ba u'mashach rabim la'amunus Hashem Yisparach. He, Avram Avinu, came up with the amunu, with the belief, but not only that, he shared it by attracting many, many multitudes, great multitudes, to the belief in God. V'chol zeh b'refuas halashon. And the key to success for Avram Avinu in this process of quote unquote healing the people was his lashon, his power of speech. Why was this stone in the Gemara in Baba Basra worn around the neck of Avram Avinu? And here Rabbeinu Bechai quotes the Gemara that we saw. And he says, "Habir b'zeki ahim shil mida zoshehi meiras einayim lemargolis ameira v'yomer tluya b'tzavor l'fisha dibur hu begaron." He says beautifully that the power of speech of man in the physical world is in his garon, in his throat. That's where the speech, you know, the speech comes from, and the Even Tova here, the beautiful, shining, precious stone, was Meir Einayim. It brought light. You know, if you have a beautiful diamond, you'll see how the light reflects off the diamond, or a pearl. Anything that's precious has that capacity to reflect light. And that's what Avram Avinu was doing. He was bringing light, and therefore spiritual health, and curing people of their spiritual maladies and diseases with his garon, with his throat, with his neck. And this was the symbolism of the Even Tova that lit up the world through its connection to Avraham Avinu's neck, meaning his power of speech. Says Rabbeinu B'chai, Kol Misha Yelo Cholia Nefesh Vayeshomea Dvar Shal Avraham Avinu. Anyone who is really deficient, he was very limited in his knowledge of God, and in that sense he's called a Choli Nefesh, he would hear the words of Avraham Avinu, and immediately, it's interesting, I don't know how the Rabbeinu B'chai knows this, Miyad Hoy Misrapi Micholio. But now Avraham Avinu leaves this world, he departs to a better world. There was no creature be left behind him. Shiyora al Elokuso could be such a powerful teacher and teach Elokus the belief in divinity. The Al Yichudo and the oneness of God, the unity of God, who would now take over? How would we pass on this tradition and continue the legacy in the ways of Avraham Avinu? Ella, God said there's only one existing object, so to speak. It's not even a subject, it's not a person. Ella Galgal Chama. It's the sun itself. The sun has the power to bring man spiritual health. Why? Because man looks at the sun and he realizes there's got to be an Almighty, there's got to be a God who created the sun. And therefore, in the simile and the metaphor of the Gemara in Bava Basra that we saw, this Evan Tova, that's Meir Olam, that brings people to Emunah, is now placed in the sun. Al Derech HaKosov, says Rabbeinu B'chai, this is a reflection of what it says in Tilim Yutes, HaShamayim Misaprim Kvod Kel, we see, we perceive the universe, its beauty, its glory, its complexity, and the splendor and the majesty of the universe bring us to believe in Almighty God. The key to believe in God is to perceive the universe and its glory, its complexity, HaShamayim Misaprim Kvod Kel. V'zeu shomar, and here Rabbeinu B'chai invokes a pasuk in Mishlei, Marpei Loshen Eitz Chaim. Eitz Chaim is the tree of life, and the tree of life is totally dependent upon the power of speech, the Marpei Loshen. And this was Avraham Avinu. He was the cause to bring so many multitudes under the Tachas Kanfei Hashchina. He was for them the Eitz Chaim, the tree of life. Imagine a situation where you're drowning in a white water, and then you grab on to some branch that's sticking out of the water. And that branch is your umbilical cord that connects you to life itself. That's the Eitz Chaim that Avraham Avinu played as the guy, as the role to bring the people back to life, breathing life in them, as it were. That Avraham Avinu and Sari Menu were Ose Nefashos, which literally translates as creators, because spiritual creation is no less dramatic than physical creation. And a teacher of Torah, and especially someone who transmits the basics, the fundamentals, meaning the belief in God, is someone who is creating life, spiritual life. And that's the Avesa Nefesh Asher Osu Bechoron, when Avram succeeds in bringing Ravim, the multitudes, Tachas Kanfei Hashchina, to use again the phrase of Rabbeinu B'chai, the Margolius that was Tvluya B'Tzavaro, he says, represents the Chayim Amitim Anitzchim, the true and eternal life. This is something that we have to emphasize time and time again, how belief in God is the key that opens up the doors, unlocks the doors to truth which is eternal. And Avraham Avinu, as the Rabbeinu B'chai says it, is able to achieve this great goal of being Meir Einayim, of bringing light to the eyes of those who are, in a sense, spiritually blind. And after Avraham Avinu, what's left in the universe to play this role is the sun, is the universe. We see the sun as such an important element in our galaxy, in our universe, in our part of the universe, I would say. In fact, I once read an article called Seven Reasons Why I Believe in God, written by a scientist, and he writes about the position of the sun in the sky, and specifically its distance to the earth, which of course is light years. But if you would move the sun, he says, let's say X number of degrees, just a small amount, a small movement of the sun closer to the earth, the entire earth would burn up from heat. And if on the other hand you push the sun a little bit back, a few degrees, something that you wouldn't even notice, the entire earth would freeze. We are totally dependent upon the exact position that the sun is vis-a-vis the world, the globe. And Hashem put the sun there with His divine wisdom, His amazing creativity, to position it in a way that the entire globe, the entire earth, would benefit from the sun. And we get back to Tehillim Pei Tes, which is the Maskil Yesan HaEzrachi, and we will see in the Pasuk how David HaMelech expresses the fact, again this is Avram's teaching, that the Shamayim, the heavens, will now have to prepare the way for our emunah, for our belief. And at the end of Pasuk Gimel in Tehillim Pei Tes, it says, Shamayim tachin emunascha behem. Inherent in Shamayim is a preparation for emunah. Study the heavenly bodies, the celestial spheres, the galaxies. Become an astronomist. I don't mean that you have to really get your PhD in astronomy, but look at the earth, look at the sun, look at the moon, look at the stars, look at the galaxies, look out there and see the glory and the majesty of God, and that will bring you to emunah. And in Pasuk Vav, in the same capital, V'yodu Shamayim Pilach Hashem, I would say the word V'yodu means acknowledge, or notify. People will be notified, will understand and grasp Pilacha, the wonders of Hashem, and that will lead them to belief in Hashem. Af emunascha bekahal kidoshim, that will bring you to emunas. Avraham Avinu here, as the author, the ghostwriter of Kapitel Peites in Tehillim, is telling us about emuna, because that's what his legacy is. But he knows he won't live forever, so he points out that the Shamayim will now have to prepare your emuna. Yodu Shamayim Pilach Hashem, and ultimately man will recognize God when he appreciates the universe. What we're going to soon see is that man's ability to find God in the universe requires a certain prerequisite, and that is that you have to really be wearing the right glasses. If you come with prejudices, if you come with a negative attitude, you remember the story about the first satellite, you know, the Russians, at that time, right, the Soviet Union, they set up the Sputnik, and they got a message back, I looked for God in the universe, I didn't find Him anywhere. And when John Glenn, the American astronaut, went up, he said, I looked for God in the universe, and I found Him everywhere. So obviously you have to have a non-biased, objective perspective here, without the prejudices. And then, if you prepare yourself well, you can look out at the universe, Hashamayim Misaprim, quote Kale, and come to the true belief. And that's exactly what Avram did in his life. Machlokas and the Rishonim, exactly how old he was, the different Midrashim, at what age did Avram Avinu come to his emunah? Probably he started at a very young age, and this emunah developed over the course of decades. Probably he came to a mature understanding, a sophisticated understanding of God and divinity at the age of 48. And God revealed Himself to Avraham Avinu many years later, probably 27 years later, at the age of 75. And during those years in between, there's no doubt Avraham Avinu was craving, was yearning for Hashem to come, peep out and certify that, authenticate, I should say, Avraham Avinu's belief in God. And here I want to share with you a Chassam Sofer, a brilliant Chassam Sofer in his attempt to defend Rashi against the Ramban. I spoke about it recently in the Ramban class. Vehemin Bashem vayichshevel lo tzedaka. The pasuk in Bereishis Tesvav in our parsha, Parshas Lech Lecha, speaks about the emuna, the faith of Avraham Avinu. God had shown up with the besorah to Avraham Avinu that he would have progeny, he would have children, and Hashem takes him outside, shows him the kochavim, the stars in the heavens, and he says, "Tisparosim tuchal lisparosim, count them if you can." And Avram accepts that belief. Now Rashi says "Vayechshevel lo tzedaka" means that Hashem considered Avram's emuna to be great, to be a tremendous merit and achievement. Hakadosh Baruch Hu chashav lo tzedaka uzchus al emuna shehemin bo. And the Ramban, he doesn't like it. It doesn't sit well with him. The Ramban becomes very antagonistic almost towards Rashi. He says, "Eni mevin maz chusazos lama lo yamin belo keyomen v'hu atzmo novi batzmo v'lo ish keyom v'yichazev mishahemin lishchor esbeno hayochid ha'ov v'shar nisyonis eich lo yamin b'msore tov v'amin." Like, what's the chiddush? Pshito my kamashmo. What was the havamina that Avraham Avinu wouldn't believe that God is speaking to him and giving him a divine promise? I mean, Avraham Avinu had so many different nevuahs, so many different prophecies which he accepted on the basis of his prophecy later at the end of Parshas Vayera, he's going to be willing to slaughter his own son. So obviously it's davar pashut. It goes without saying that Avraham Avinu is a mamin. What's the big deal here? What's the vayichshevel lo tzedaka? And based on this question, the Ramban presents an entirely different interpretation of this pasuk. And according to the Ramban, Vayechshevel lo tzedaka is the relation between Avram to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Avram is looking out at HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he is considering that this great gift that Hashem is granting Avram at the age of 100, that he'll father a child, that's a tzedaka digger gift. It's not a schar, it's tzedaka. But be that as it may, can we defend Rashi? And that's what the Chassam Sofer wants to do in his Pirush al Torah. After he quotes the Pasuk, and then he quotes the Ramban with his Kasha, what kind of tzedakah is it for Avram that he believes he's the Rosh HaMaminim? It's upgraded, it's simple, it's certain. Ulafiani is daiti, says the Chassam Sofer. Hi, that's what it says. Vehem is poel yotze osa. We're talking about an active emunah. We're not talking about the fact that just Avraham Avinu came to belief in God. He believed God's promise. That takes a great deal of emunah too. But the Ramban is right in that concept. But we're talking about here the emunah, the interpretation of the pasuk here of Vehem in Bashem. It's referring not to surface level emunah, but to a profound emunah that's going to be shared, that's going to impact on the, call it the DNA structure of the Jewish people throughout the generations. After all, Avram is the Avi Ha'uma, he's the father of our nation. And the language of the Chassam Sofer is very beautiful. He writes, V'hishrish ha'emunah b'nafsho. Avraham Avinu's emuna was so deeply rooted within his own soul that he was able, with that deep emuna, to pass on that emuna lebnei banav ad sof kol hadoros. That anyone who's a descendant of Avraham Avinu would have picked up on this emuna because it's so deeply ingrained in Avraham Avinu that it's passed on. Ad shehigia hashir k'shayu banav Meshukayim b'Mitzrayim. You want a litmus test? You want to gauge and measure the profound nature of Avram's emuna? Look how his children, who are in Mitzrayim, they're in the Shari Tuma, they're at the lowest level. They are, as the Pasuk in Yechezkel indicates, Nispatu Harbe B'Tovos Mitzrayim. They are negatively drawn down by the flesh pots of Mitzrayim, and there's no question that in that state of being, it would be very, very difficult, almost unthinkable, to have emunah in Hashem. Mikol makom, says the Chassam Sofer, how profound was the emunah throughout the generations? Emunah lo zaza, it was never undermined. V'nigalu b'schus emunah. And they were redeemed, the Jewish people were redeemed from Egypt, as a merit, as a reward for their emunah, for their belief. And here at this point, we go back to a Gemara in Shabbos Daf Tzadi Zayin. Remember that Moshe Rabbeinu accused, when he encountered Hashem at the snare, he accused the people of Israel of, there's no chance they'll believe me. He says, "V'heim lo yaminu li." And I'm going to come and say, I'm the Savior, I'm coming to redeem you from Egypt, I'm a shliach, I'm a messenger of God, and like, you know, who you fooling kind of thing. That's the way Moshe saw it, in a very facetious way. They won't believe me. Says the Gemara of Galia, Kami Kutcha Brichu, it was clear in front of Almighty God, the Behemne Yisrael, that the people of Israel will believe. Amalo, God turns to Avram and he says, to Moshe, at the snare, you don't know who the people are. Hey, ma'aminim, b'nei ma'aminim, don't you appreciate that emunah is passed on through the generations? It's inherent in the DNA structure. V'ato, but you should know. And Hashem points an accusing finger at Avram, and Moshe, excuse me. And he says, sofcha, ein sofcha lahamin. Your problem is that you don't have emunah. You shouldn't accuse the other Jewish, the rest of the Jewish people of not having emunah. Your problem is going to be your lack of emunah. And that's the pasuk that Yan Lo Hemantim be in Parshas Chukas, in this famous, or maybe we can call it notorious case of the Sela, that Moshe hit the Sela, is HaKadosh Baruch Hu declares Yan Lo Hemantim be, Moshe, you were deficient in your emunah. But what do we see about Bnei Yisrael? Bnei Yisrael are ma'aminim bnei ma'aminim. When Moshe comes and reveals himself, in fact, the response of the Jewish people is belief. And B'nai Ma'aminim, that children of Ma'aminim, here the Gemara invokes the pasuk in our parasha in Lech Lecha in Perek Tesvav, Vehem in Bashem. So you see, says the Chasam Sofer, it's clear from the context of the Gemara that Vehem in Bashem, here in this pasuk, that comes right before the Bris Bein of Asarim in Parashas Lech Lecha. This Hamin Bashem is a deep emunah, such that it will be passed down, transmitted through the generations. Bnei Yisrael amaminim, bnei maminim, no matter how low they sink, they still have this inherent capacity for emunah. It's in the bloodstream. And therefore, even when they reach the impact of the Tovos Mitzrayim, nevertheless, if you understand the depth of the emunah of Avraham Avinu and the emunah that was passed down through the generations, you could appreciate why the Jewish people came and they passed the test in flying colors. And despite the Memtesh Shari Tuma, when Moshe revealed himself, presented himself, they believed in him. And the pasuk in Micha says, "Titen emes li Yaakov, chesed li Avraham." Asher nishbat al avosenu bimei kedem. Avraham Avinu is the epitome of the midah of chesed. He personifies chesed just as Yaakov personifies emes. And the chesed of Avraham expresses itself in this endeavor, this ability, this project of Avraham, in which he successfully transmits the belief in one God, first of all, to many, many multitudes of his contemporaries, and furthermore, he's able to penetrate into the very structure, the very fabric of the Jewish people in such a way that it's now hereditary. The emunah of Avraham is so profound that it's now hereditary. And here I want to close by quoting the Mishnah in Avos, which compares and contrasts Avram and his Talmidim to Bilam and his Talmidim. What typifies Avram are three categories: Ayin Tova, Ruach Nemucha, Nefesh Shafala. And this is passed on throughout the generations to the Jewish people. When we see a Jew who has Ayin Tova, Ruach Nemucha, Nefesh Shafala, we know, we can identify him as Talmid of Shel Avram. He got it from Avraham Avinu. Avraham is the great Baal Midos. He's the one who has a good eye. He wants to share with people. Very magnanimous. He's got a Ruach Nemucha. He's not in any way haughty. He doesn't build himself up. and pump himself up, you know, as if you can't approach him. He's very approachable. Anochi ofer ve'efer. Nefesh shafala. Is with those midos, Avraham Avinu reaches out to the people of his life during his lifetime, and he's able to convert Klal Yisrael from a nation without chesed, without midos tovos, to a nation of midos tovos. The midos tovos of ayin tov, ruach nemucha, nefesh fala are ingrained in the talmidim of Avraham Avinu. That's Avram's legacy. So we have Avram's emunah that passes on through the generations, and that's through his chesed, but we also have the midos and the malos tovos that Avram passes on through the generations. So what we have here is, number one, the Chasam Sofer about emunah, that emunah will be passed on from Ben to Ben, through the generations. Klal Yisrael, any member of the people at any time, no matter where in history you're holding, has the potential of emunah. Sometimes it's a little bit covered by dross, but we can get down, you know, we can do some root canal digging and get down to the emunah that we all have within us. With some it's dormant, but it all comes from Avraham Avinu. He's the Esan HaEzrachi. And now we speak about midos tovos. We can combine chesed with ayin tova, ruach nemucha, shfei nefesh fola, and say that here too Avraham Avinu is the paradigm of these midos. And anyone else who emulates these midos and follows in the way that Avraham did, he's called mitalmidav shel Avraham. And at this point, I want to share with you an insight of Reb Shlomo Hyman, the great Rosh Yeshiva of Tor V'Das, who says that this Mishnah that is focused on the difference, comparing and contrasting the Talmidim of Avram with Talmidim of Bilam, he says, L'chor tamua halo, if the Mishnah is looking for Ma Bein, you know, what's the difference? And the Mishnah is trying to classify, by contrasting the Talmidim of Avram and Bilam, classify the essence of the two groups and how antithetical they are one to the other. He says, Tamua. He says, I don't understand. Why couldn't the Mishnah just reflect the fact that Avram is a Maimon and therefore his Talmidim are Maminim? They believe in God. And those, you know, the Talmidim of Bilam are Kofrim. They're idol worshippers. They're completely out. That could have been the focal point of the Mishnah. So he says, Rav Shlomo, that there's a chiddush here inherent in the Mishnah. The Mishnah wants to convey to us the very important message that if we want to know what's the difference between these Talmidim and those, we have to ask ourselves with what power, with what force, did these Talmidim, let's say the Talmidim that Avraham Avinu had, did they gravitate to Avraham Avinu? He says, Yeshlomer b'kavonis chazal d'sheilosom hoya ma bein. What's the difference between these Talmidim and those Talmidim? Hainu ma'u ha'koach shol Talmidi Avraham Avinu shenimshichu acharav lios ma'minin. What power do the Talmidim of Avraham Avinu have such that they are always drawn towards doing the good, towards the belief in God? To read to you his language, he says, his birulon chazal shahayu bale midos tovos, the Talmidim of Avraham Avinu had these very good attributes, these moral attributes of shiflus and ayin tova. They were humble people, ube'esh ain on them no gem midos of a person not looking out just for himself, self-aggrandizement. He's got the midos tovos, he's refined and he's sensitive. Ro'es emes, he can see the truth. So Avraham Avinu had a double job here, in a sense. He had to, number one, teach the people, but number two, he had to make them prepared to accept his words, to accept the truth, to get them unbiased and unprejudiced, objective, to listen to what he had to say, to accept the truth. And in order to do that, he needed to, in a sense, be metayer then to purify them for their midos. And also the flip side is true. Those who already had midos tovos would gravitate to Avraham Avinu and accept his teaching. They had no prejudice, no axe to grind, no agenda not to believe in one God. But the Talmidim of Bilam, on the other hand, they lived in a generation in which God saved the Jewish people with nisim gluyim, with open and shut miracles. So the revelation of God was in the world. And that's what the Mishnah wants to understand. With all these revelations, with all the thunder and lightning, with all the miracles, why did these people, this group of people, still remain loyal to Bilam and to Avodah Zarah? Didn't they see the handwriting on the wall? God is revealing himself. Ech nisfechu l'talmidav shel Bilam neged ha-seichel v'emes ha-golui. V'al ze biru v'gambo ze ha-siba, the reason why the talmidim of Bilam, even at that time, were unable to see, you know, the smell of the coffee and realize that there's one God, when the testimony and the truth is bouncing off all the walls, why didn't you see that? The answer is, the Siba, the reason for this, is Midos Ros. We come back to Midos. There's an absolute overlap here between Emuna, between accepting the faith, believing in all the proofs for the existence of God, and whatever Avraham Avinu was able to do to convince the people. But that is only half the story. The reception and the acceptance of those beliefs were contingent upon moral perfection. He who is morally perfected, or close to it, he is the one who will be eager to learn Torah. He will gravitate towards the belief in one God that's being taught. He doesn't have all that blockage if he is mitalmidav shel Avraham Avinu, has the right midos. If, on the other hand, nebuch he's mitalmidav shel Bilam and he has midos rose, then despite all the thunder and lightning and all the miracles that surround him, he still would not see the truth. It means that truth requires, you know, the acceptance of truth, the process of inculcating truth requires that the recipient be ready to accept the truth. And nothing should be static and prejudice him and derail him. He's got to be ready by purifying himself with the midos tovos. If he has those pure midos, if he's an anav and he's a shval berech and all the rest, then he can hear clearly the words of Torah and accept them. He will no doubt succeed in his goal, in his endeavor of accepting the belief of Avraham Avinu because of the Midos Tovos. That's the Chesed and Amunah joining together as one entity together.